The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Gar Mullins is with us from the very, very nice Marker Hotel Anantara at the Marker. I have to say, Gar, last time I saw you, I was actually eating.
That's right, I was cooking
restaurant.
For you.
And it was very nice. Not that I expected to be anything other
I
than
love
very
the element
nice.
Of surprise. Thank you.
It was really, really hot. It was good stuff, to
I'm
be
I'm getting
fair.
The hang of this cooking bit. I'm telling you, man.
You should come into
a career in this.
You should go into it professionally. I was trying to make you a compliment, and that derailed very quickly there.
Let's
move on to Manny's. So you're cooking for Manny's. Mammy's this Sunday.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people will a lot of people should be cooking for their mothers. I mean, they do enough for us the rest of the year round. So a roast strip loin of Irish beef with Hasselback potatoes and proper gravy. So a roast dinner is something that you do have to put a little bit of thought into. So so the first thing you're going to have to do is go out and get yourself a nice bit of strip loin of beef. You need about a kilo for 5 to 6 people. That's the piece of meat that has a bit of fat on the back of it, then not very much fat in it, so it's a nice kind of roast and cut for that the whole family will like, and to cook it medium, I would say. And then underneath it, what you're going to need is a bulb of garlic, some thyme, some vegetable oil, a couple of carrots, an onion. You need a glass of red wine. You need some beef stock, about 300 mils, and a couple of tablespoons of tomato puree. That's to make the gravy.
Okay.
So what you're going to do, first of all, take the beef out of the packaging, or if you buy it off the butcher, take it out of the bag, and you're going to run a knife along the back of it. So you're going to score the back of the fat. What that's going to do is when you put it into the pan, it'll help melt or render the fat down. And then after you've done that, preheat your oven to 190 degrees, get your frying pan on, little bit of vegetable oil in the pan, season the beef really well, and then you're with some salt and pepper, and then you're going to sear it off fat side down in the pan. So I think a lot of people...
Why'd you do that?
So what we're trying to do is get the caramelization to start, and we're starting to build the... that caramelization will ultimately give the gravy more flavour. So then after you've seared it off, into a small little roasting dish, you put those vegetables that I spoke about, so the carrots, the onion, the garlic, the thyme, they go in the bottom, and you sit the beef up onto that, like so it's like a trivet of vegetables, and you pop it into the oven, and you're going to roast it at 190 degrees for about 40 minutes, which will give you a medium temperature in the middle. When it comes out, you have to rest it then for at least 20 minutes. The general rule of thumb is, if you roast something for 3 hours, you're going to rest it for an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So at Christmas time, when I was talking about turkeys, I would have told you to rest it for an hour and a half after you roast it for 3 hours. So this 40 minutes, 20 minutes of a rest. While it's resting, some of the juices will run out. They're going to go into the gravy that you're going to make. So with that roasting dish, put it up on the stove, turn the heat on underneath, and you're going to pour in the glass of red wine. That technique is called deglazing. And what we're doing, any of the little bits that are stuck to the bottom of the tray, the red wine basically washes them all off and it puts it into the gravy. Then you go in with the tomato puree, give it a stir around, in with the beef stock, bring it all up to the boil, and then you're going to cook that for about 15 minutes. And then you put
the beef in it?
No, the beef is sitting on the side.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And then you're going to get a little sieve, put it over a pot, and you're going to pour all those vegetables and the liquor that's in there into the sieve. So the sieve is going to catch it, and what falls into the pot underneath is the gravy.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, so, okay, I'm fascinated now because how rare would that beef be? Because
be medium.
Yeah, that should nearly be talking to me now.
No, it'll be past that. So if you have a little thermometer, if you like medium, you want to cook it to about 52 degrees. If you like it a little bit more than that, leave it in for...
What the little man says, 75?
Yeah, 75 is well done. So that's to bring it. If you like it well done, you need to cook it up past 75 degrees. But if I was cooking a piece of housekeeper's cut or a cheaper cut of meat, that's a different story. That's going to be in the oven for 3 hours, 3.5,
because
4 hours.
This is going to be nice and tender, isn't
this
it?
This is a premium. So this is like, you know when you go out and you order a sirloin steak or a strip loin steak? This is a big piece of that before it's cut into steaks. If you don't want to do strip loin, ribeye is also lovely. And if you have an extra few quid, you could roast a piece of fillet.
Well, if you want to go to the bank and get a mortgage, then feel free. Now, the Hasselback potatoes, because we were just having a quick chat about Hasselback, and I told you that I've tried them, but as usual, I'm doing it wrong. So tell me how I should be doing it.
So I like to get the little small salad potatoes to make my Hasselbacks. And then you get a chopping board and a couple of plastic straws or a couple of chopsticks work quite well. And you put the potato in between the two straws, and then you run your knife down, and your knife isn't going to hit the chopping board because the two straws are going to stop it. Two pencils will work as well. So then you don't have to try and stop and cut the potato in half because the straws or the pencils or the chopsticks or whatever that's stopping. And then you just follow that technique about, you know, a quarter of a centimetre or a couple of mil in between, and you're going to slice across the potato 20 little slits. It sounds like an awful lot of hassle, but what happens is when then you put them onto the tray, drizzle them with oil, some thyme, some garlic, some rosemary, and then pop them into a really hot oven. And as the hot oven is cooking them, they open up a little bit and they get really crispy, like really crispy.
Yeah. Oh, I really do like them. Now, my troglodyte method, which actually sounds a little less painful than yours, is I have a thing that slices an
egg.
You have
a gadget.
I have a gadget, right. It slices a kind of a boiled egg for you. And I just like bash that onto the potato, and then you have to do a bit of work to get the potato off it. But it is, it gives the same impact.
You're fancy. Like, I didn't realise that you have all the kitchen gadgets.
I buy all these terrible things and they sit there for years on end. Look, the other thing about this is the proper gravy. How important is the gravy to this recipe?
Well, to me, a lot of people like go to the hassle of spending all this money and buying this beautiful piece of meat, and then they go and they buy it. There's nothing wrong with a pack of gravy, nothing at all. But like, by putting a few vegetables underneath, a splash of wine and a little bit of beef stock, you won't get this really strong tasting gravy that you get out of a packet, but you'll get something that's going to complement the piece of meat that you cook. And it's really simple to do. I actually have a video up on my Instagram showing how to make the gravy, how to roast the meat, and how to do the hassle.
But this is gluten-free gravy as well, because there's no flour.
Yeah, I don't like to put a little bit of flour in it, but when you pass it off and you pass it through the sieve, because you put that little bit of tomato puree and you bring it up to the boil, you'll see that it's thick enough. If you like your gravy nice and thick, a little bit of corn flour into some water while it's boiling, pop that in and that'll thicken it up. The last thing that I haven't given you the recipe, but you should do, is Yorkshire puddings. Easiest thing in the world to make. Easy. Equal parts flour, butter, and milk, mix them together, a muffin tray into the oven with a little bit of oil, let it preheat 220 degrees.
How much oil? Because this is where mine always fall on their arse. How much oil should you put in?
When you think you've enough, throw another little splash in. You want about like a centimetre of oil
so
in the
bottom. So you really want a good bit
you
of
do.
Oil.
And then when the oil is hot, you just pour them in, pop them back into the oven, leave the oven door closed, 220 degrees for 20 minutes, then lower the oven down to 180 for another 10.
Well, we will describe you, Gar Mullins, as the mother's friend.
There you
go. Thank you very much indeed. And no doubt it'll be busy in the restaurant for Saturday, Sunday.
Well, restaurant is closed, but we're actually nice. We have a few tables left for afternoon tea, but afternoon tea is our big thing this Sunday to celebrate all the mammies.
Okay, well, and they'll be well looked after there as well. Gar Mullins of The Marker, thank you very much indeed for that. The recipe's up on Gar's Instagram.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.